Hello, and welcome back to another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Each day, we tell you about our world as it is. Get it? And we help you learn and improve your American English speaking skills at the same time. We do this by using a limited vocabulary. That means we use fewer words, and they are easy to understand. We also tell our world stories a bit slower than the way people speak in normal English. That also is a big help if you do not speak English as a first language. Today, we have two stories for you. First, we talk about religion and threats to Christians around the world. Then, we'll make an attempt to save the birds. No, not from hunters or pollution, but from buildings. It's an interesting story that will be coming your way in less than 5 minutes. So let's get started with today's program. Here is part one. An international religious group has released its list of the worst countries for Christians to live in. As in past years, North Korea was at the top of the list. But for the most part, the greatest threat to Christians came from an extreme form of Islam. Ann Ball has more on the group and its findings.
Damaris Otson lives in Nigeria.
So on their way home, he met with the Boko Haram.
She remembers how supporters of the Muslim militant group Boko Haram stabbed her husband to death.
I was hopeless. I said, my life is useless.
Her story was presented at the release earlier this month of an annual list of countries said to be most dangerous for Christians. The list is a project of the Christian missionary group Open Doors. David Curry is president of Open Doors USA. He says Islamic extremism was the main threat to Christians in Nigeria and most of the other 50 countries on the list.
The world still does not get it. The persecution of Christians is real. It is horrifically violent.
David Curry says the mistreatment of Christians is a serious issue.
The persecution of Christians is a bellwether for the other human rights issues. When people begin to attack people for the expression of their faith, you see the rest of societal issues start to pop up.
In Iraq, militants have also targeted Muslims, both Shia and Sunni. But Nina Shea of the Center for Religious Freedom says the persecution of Christians in Iraq is different.
There will be, we can be sure, a Sunni and a Shiite presence when peace returns to Iraq someday. We can't be sure that there will be a Christian presence.
The group Open Doors was founded in the 1950s to smuggle Bibles to people behind what was known as the Iron Curtain. Its members worked to secretly send copies of Christianity's holy book to the Soviet Union and its communist allies. Today, for the 13th time in as many years, North Korea tops the list of worst countries for Christians. There, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is presented to the North Korean people as godlike. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Millions of birds are killed each year in cities when they strike illuminated buildings, especially ones covered with a lot of glass. Experts say Artificial lights at night are confusing for migratory birds. They often collide with glass buildings, not knowing the light is on the other side. In response, a growing movement to save birds from such crashes has been taking place in cities across the United States. Marcia James has just flown into the studio to tell us more.
There's a bird here. It's a woodpecker.
Lizbeth Fuse is director of a campaign called Lights Out DC. Her team found several dead birds one morning at the base of glass buildings.
Very beautiful.
I see the redhead.
Volunteers often travel a 6-kilometer path in downtown Washington, D.C., every day before sunrise. Many of the volunteers are amateur bird watchers. They walk around the sides of buildings, collecting fallen birds before they are eaten by predators or swept away by cleaning crews. Lizbeth Few says the area has many buildings that pose a danger to migrating birds.
Large expanses of glass that were lit at night that have plants inside the building, because if a bird sees a plant in a building and it doesn't perceive the glass and it runs into the windows, and then they're attracted to the light.
The Lights Out DC campaign urges building owners to turn off unnecessary lights at night during peak bird migration periods in the spring and fall.
These are mostly small birds. There's a lot of advantages to flying at night, less predators. There's less thermal upheaval, so they can fly more easily. So they've also speculation that they navigate using the stars.
The Lights Out campaign is now in its 5th year. Lizbeth Few says her group is having some success. She also says one of many federal office buildings has agreed to their request.
Since they've done that, we've seen a 2/3 reduction in the amount of bird fatalities at that site.
Ann Lewis is president of City Wildlife, a group that identifies dead birds through the Lights Out DC program. She says other major cities have reported similar results.
When they had a large campaign in Chicago to get buildings to turn out lights, the bird mortality was reduced by 80% there.
This year, volunteers have collected almost 400 birds in the small area of Washington. The birds are identified, frozen, and photographed.
The purpose of collecting birds is to have proof that it's a problem. And that's also why we photograph the birds. In the United States, anywhere from 100 million to 1 billion birds are killed by glass collisions every year. That's sad.
The birds are donated to the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History. Brian Schmidt is head of the museum's bird collection.
The specimens that we get can be used for a wide variety of studies. One example is researchers look at carbon and nitrogen signatures, and they can determine where do these birds hatch, where did they grow up, and why are they coming through our